Hello and welcome to this week's Gridiron Gentlemen. By now you're thinking, hey, I've just had one of those Gridiron Gentlemen podcasts. You know, that podcast that I didn't have in 3 weeks, but one mysteriously appeared, followed immediately by another one. And you'd be right in thinking that. Something basically went wrong and I'm an idiot, essentially. That's the long and short of it. So you'll be getting two podcasts for the price of one, which is free. So, you know, stop whinging, I suppose. Anyway, we're going to be talking draft and we're going to keep talking draft until we decide that we're tired, essentially, tonight. Yeah. Doing this, we have myself and we have James. James, how's it going? It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It is the most wonderful time of my year. It's my Christmas, to the point where I've done so much digging into the class that actually I forgot to wash all of my clothes and I'm having to pod tonight in a McAfee-style vest.
It's sadly true. He's not standing up, though, so that's nice.
No, I'm not standing up, yeah. But my vest is better than McAfee's because mine has a great big scary death metal owl on it.
Yeah, and also...
it's Kvelertak.
Yeah, it's an awesome vest, to be fair. And also, you're not peddling incel nonsense as well. So, you know, there's that as well. But
I don't know, my receiver takes this year might qualify as that.
Oh.
More on that in another episode.
Yes, definitely. So we're definitely doing tonight tight end and edge. That's what we said, wasn't it?
Yep.
Tight end and edge tonight. Yeah.
We'll get to some other positions that are also positions.
Yeah. Fear not. Wonderful listeners. We will be getting to every single position. We're going to be bringing some more people in as well to talk about it. You won't just be me and James, you'll be pleased to know.
Whether they like it or not.
Do I say it? Do I say it out loud? Because if I say it out loud, it means it's definitely got to happen. Mm-hmm. We will also be doing the I can't bring myself to say it because it's so much work. Mock draft this year as well.
One of Dan's eyes has started shaking and squinting.
My job's hard. And now that's just added to it. But yeah, okay, we're doing a mock draft this year as well. So I'll put something up on the socials about that, see if we can get people involved. So if you want to be involved, let us know. Draft season. We are 100% involved now. The hot takes have already started flying. Hendon Hooker, that's all I know about really at the moment. Just shooting up draft boards when he won't be drafted up anywhere near as high as some people have him. But yeah.
Zierlein's take today was he's putting out his final mock draft tomorrow. Mm. And in his words, you all think you know what the top 10 is going to look like. Mm. But from what I've heard, you're all wrong.
Amazing. I love to hear that as well. And also, fair play for stopping doing a mock draft this early as well. Because at this point is when it gets to silly season. So,
yeah.
Well, general thoughts on the draft this year?
You are forced to look more at the player because for a lot of players, the measurables are not what you would normally expect across a lot of positions, actually.
Yeah.
Most notably wide receiver this year. Most of the class I could have in a fight. Joke, not really.
That's going to be the next pod, by the way.
What, me fighting Zay Flowers?
Yep.
No. He's a 28-inch arms. I just hold him at arm's length for an hour. If he got tired. It's fine. 34-inch arms, kid. 9¾-inch hands, too. There we go.
Okay.
But I'm a first percentile athlete. But no, it's one of those classes where you have to look at the player and consider what the risk for your team really is if you pick a player.
It's not the best draft if you don't like players that look a bit weird in their positions.
Yeah.
And there are still teams that do this. And it's highlighted by the most obvious thing, which is that potentially the number one quarterback this year is the same size as Pat White. For anyone that remembers Pat White, he was a Miami Dolphins quarterback that lasted about 4 games because he was so small. But the game has changed significantly since then. You'll have just heard me on the last podcast ranting about how I think Bryce Young's probably the best quarterback in this year's draft. And how his size shouldn't be what stops you from drafting him, but you go through every position. There are some just players that look really weird in their positions.
And there's intriguing outliers that, you know, if it were me, I would bet on.
I
That's
yeah,
just me.
same. And I think what we'll find is we're probably heading towards like some very, very good NFL players as well this year.
This will probably be one of those classes where we look back in 5 years' time and go, he went in round two? It's one of them.
Yeah, that's just, you know, the more I look into it, the more I think, okay, well, that guy's, you've got edge players and interior defensive linemen within about 10 pounds of each other, in some cases, and they're all potentially first round picks. So it is really, really weird. But
It's like
I
the
look,
difference between Kalijah Kantsey and Tyree Wilson. Kalijah Kantsey is a three tech, and Tyree Wilson's an edge player. The difference between them is basically a small baby.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's weird, and I would take both of those in the first round in their chosen position as well.
Yes.
So yeah, interesting, interesting, and also the positions that we've got like talent in as well is pretty epic as well, like running back, tight end.
It's very strange because this year we have a position that is has become devalued in time, but I look at the player that's at the top of that group, and I don't know that I've been as excited about a player at that position in about 10 years. And it's no exaggeration to say that I've watched this player and I am absolutely in awe of him already. He hasn't even set foot on an NFL field.
Is this a position we're talking about tonight?
If we are lucky enough to get to it, I would quite like to talk about him tonight
I
because
know you talk
I
about
just I
it
can't stop. I cannot. Do you know what? I get through four or five games of a running back and make up my mind. I've sat through 12 of his games just because it's. I need to have the greatness confirmed over and over again, and it's
He's
consistently amazing.
exceptional. Who
Special,
was it
special player.
who there was one of the draft analysts on the, I assume it's the Athletic, because that's pretty much the only one I listen to. Saying that to draft a running back in the first round, you've got to be sure they could play pretty much a whole season as a slot receiver. Which I kind of get.
I'm pretty sure that player could get them.
100% sure. Yeah, I'm yeah. He's a special talent. And like it, I've always said that like special talent doesn't really matter what position they play. You draft them as early as you feel like you're going to be able to get hold of them. So.
The things that are special always translate about this player.
Yeah, I completely agree. See, is do you think he's the number one player in the draft?
I have a hard time deciding between him and the two other guys I think are the best.
It's a great draft this year. I think it's the more I look into it, the more I kind of love it. Like, there is quarterbacks for those that just love quarterbacks. There is just a wealth of edge players. There's, if you want crazy positions, how many tight ends are going to get drafted in the first round this year? It's bonkers. It is. There is so much talent.
Top 100 tight ends that could be double figures.
Yeah,
Could be.
everyone needs at least one tight end in the league, because everyone's looking for the something that is an absolute game changer. And no one picked up wide receivers in free agency, and no one's going to pick up like true game changing receivers in the draft this year either, most likely. But once again, it's different this year. It is really weird. And I think it says a lot about what the college season was as well. But we're going to take a look at, I say, we're going to take a look at least tight end and edge tonight. And honestly, that might take us through the whole pod because there is talent at both those positions. So, where do you want to start?
Let's start with tight end.
Okay, go for it. I don't know anything about tight end, so I'm going to let you kind of take the floor with this one.
So we've kind of got lucky this year because we've got the default tight end one who I think is the kind of tight end that is about as plug and play as you can get. And then what you've also got is you've got three or four of them that are legitimately have the potential to be incredibly good players because of their athletic profile and because of their ability in one phase of tight end play. And then you have some guys who are just like quintessential blue collar round two and three tight end twos and high level ones as well. So if I were to start with the one that is the biggest project with potentially the highest upside risk versus reward, we're talking the, and I mean this, the second best tight end on the Georgia team, Darnell Washington.
Yeah, I thought you were saying
Look,
Darnell
Brock
Washington.
Bowers is that good, okay? More on that next year, all right? Brock Bowers is really good,
There's a
okay?
few players already next year that
Brock
are
Bowers
kind
would
of
be tight end one in this class, okay? He would be tight end one, okay? He would. So Darnell Washington. So, playing the role of tight end two in that offense, he's been, he remains an enigma. He is the frame in and of itself. If you've seen him, the frame is, and let me get the exact number up because he was originally listed on the Bulldogs site at 6'7". If we actually get the combine numbers up, I've got a, I haven't actually opened my draft folder. I'll just open it. It will immediately close every other window though.
I've got
Huge.
so I'm on the PFF site. 6'6".
6'6", and I think he weighed in
200,
something
264 pounds, by looks of things.
264. Yeah, he was measured at Georgia at 6'7" and 274. So 6'6" and 264 is big. He is a very big, very physically strong human being with incredibly long limbs. And on the face of it, you look at him, and for all the world, he gives the appearance of being this incredibly good blocking tight end with the ability to have run after catch. He's more of a project than the reality I think we're being sold. I think a lot of his blocking is to do with his natural physical strength.
He can just stand in someone's way most of the time and just be a problem.
Yeah. And technically he's not actually fundamentally sound as a blocker. He bends the waist far too much and it's all about upper body. And I think in the NFL he's gonna need to be able to sort of drive with power through his entire frame. But I think, you know, he's strong enough to initially weather the storm and learn. He's intriguing after the catch, but for me, he's not a natural catcher of the ball. He clap catches, he lets the ball get into his body a bit too much. But there's so much raw clay to work with. There was discussions the other week about whether he should beef up and play tackle. I don't think so. I don't think that's something that he should ever consider. I don't think he would benefit from that. I think the things that you want him to get better at, you can kind of teach. You can't teach someone to be a natural catcher of the ball, but you can teach them to be good enough and teach them to use that frame after the catch. Because once he gets momentum in the open field, it's a chore to tackle him. It's 6'6" and 2'6". Is he going to be the kind of player who's going to win jump balls downfield? I don't think so. I don't see that in his profile. The other thing that was kind of interesting about his combine numbers is some of the explosive drills. He wasn't as explosive as he thought. His broad was quite disappointing. But the raw clay that is there, I think the floor for him is that he develops into an extremely sound tight end too, who has plus ability in the blocking game because of his natural physical strength. I think he's going to be an excellent blocker on the move in a zone running scheme if he can be taught to, you know, locate his targets, hit his targets, and drive through his entire body. Because if he can learn to do that, he can throw people, he can launch people. His ceiling is probably not as high as some people think, I think, because he isn't a natural catcher of the ball, but I think he could be somebody who's like Jonnu Smith on PCP.
Do you know what
That
I
makes
want?
sense.
I know a little bit about Darnell Washington. The one thing I
Yeah.
know is I want him to go to the Detroit Lions so bad I want Dan Campbell to say, give me like a personal project, like something just for me. Give me a present here, and let it be Darnell Washington. Let me mold him into a two coffee drinking, kneecap biting, just absolute monster of a tight end.
Yeah.
That's like, it just feels like a match made in heaven. Like, I think the Lions should be doing weird stuff this year because they're so close to being good that if something just hits, they could bloody a few noses in the NFC. So, like, I think this is like one of those, like, well, if this is, there's another player I think should be the Detroit Lions. We won't be talking about him this week. We'll probably be talking about him either next week or the week after. But it's one of those things that, like, just take a chance here. Take a few chances, see what sticks. You don't think you're going to win a Super Bowl this year, but if something goes right, I can't believe I'm saying this is so weird, but if something goes right in the NFC, the Lions could be a problem for every other team in that division, that conference.
Yeah.
So all it will take is Darnell Washington becoming a thing, at least. Where do we think
I don't see him falling out of round two. I don't see him getting past. I think, like you say, if a team like Detroit or a good team that wants to develop someone is there after, say, pick 25, the range is 25 to 50 is the sweet spot for him, I think. It depends on how many teams are put off by his receiving profile, but I think if it were me and I were a good team and I had my second round pick and tight end was a position of need, I needed a tight end too to develop, I'd pull the trigger and see what I could do. I really would.
Yeah.
I really, really would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the more, as you say, one of the more interesting players in the draft this year as well. One of many interesting players in the draft this year.
So. Yeah. And I'm not normally massively swayed by athletic traits, but it is of note that he is, in terms of like how he rates against, like historically against like tight end draft players drafted at tight end, he is like in the 95th to 99th percentile in almost every single physical trait you can name.
Absolutely.
With the exception of explosive drills,
where
he's actually kind of middle of the pack. But things like speed, size as well. I mean, he's got like 11 inch hands, which is like 98th percentile for a tight end. That's huge hands. Like, I think his arms are like 37 inches, which is just enormous. He is a physically just. You watch him on film and you think that is a sixth offensive lineman, and then you watch it move and it's like, no, that's not a tackle. Yeah. that's a tight end who's eaten a tight end.
Yeah, that's a great description. Yeah. Love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah. So gonna get on to now two of the projects. And they're both quite intriguing. So we'll start with, I think, the one who is the biggest enigma of them all, and that's Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah.
So he has natural ball skills. He is just an absolute born to do it in his sleep, any body angle you want, any way you want to throw him the ball. It's quite straightforward for him to haul it in, catch it in traffic, doesn't care, doesn't mind. It's great. He is very gifted in terms of his ball skills. He is a willing blocker. He'll get stuck in. The problem is that there are two things going against him. He's underdeveloped technically.
Yeah.
And he's small. He is small for a tight end in terms of like.
This year's so weird.
Weight. He's 240. It's like he's that physical profile and probably would be deployed the same way someone like an Evan Engram, where he's like the move tight end. You don't necessarily want him in line having to be a factor in the run game. So he's the kind of player that you would split out and you would throw those balls to, those seams and those crosses and the slot fades and things, and because you can, but you're not going to ask him to down block or pull or be a moving part when you run counter or anything like that because of his physical frame. So he chose not to test the combine. I don't think he needed to. You can see what you need to see from him. He is refined at separating. He's very good at it naturally. It kind of just comes to him, and he gets open like a receiver, which is the thing that I don't think Evan Engram really did. So that's what differentiates him. And he, for me, is someone who you can talk yourself into very, very easily in your offense. If you already have a tight end that is there, is quite a sort of multifaceted one. He's that guy that you have in there on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, who's that move tight end.
Yep. Here's a question, James. So if you were to just make a group of pass catchers this year, where do you think he would rank?
Regardless of position as a pass catcher.
Yeah.
I think he'd rank second among tight ends, and I'll explain why later.
Yeah.
Probably third,
Yeah, which
maybe
is,
fourth.
which, yeah, which I think says a lot. Yeah, I think someone's going to want to pull the trigger because I think there are a lot of teams that are thirsty for pass catchers out there and thirsty for anyone that can catch a ball.
I mean, the things that will hold him back are the fact that he's 246, and obviously, I think 6 pounds of that was water weight when he weighed in at the combine. I mean, there are only three tight ends in the NFL that were listed at 240 pounds or below, and he would be an outlier, definitely. He's going to be 24 as a rookie
I don't love
as well.
that either.
And I think that, if he were 2 or 3 years younger, I think he would be more appealing. And for all I've said about his ability to separate as a receiver, athletically, he isn't all that spectacular. But he is really, really good at getting open and catching the ball. And that accounts for a lot in the NFL.
Really does. Like, you look at the players that typically just do that, and they are actually some of the best receivers, like, regardless of position. They are some of the best catchers of the ball. In the league, you like your likes of, I'm not comparing him to any of these, but Cooper Kupp and Hunter Renfrow, for example, make a living of just being open and just being able to catch the ball. So if you can do that and you've got confidence that he can do that in the NFL, that's a chain mover. That's someone that's going to get you a first down. So, like, that's important for keeping your offense on the field and keeping you in games. So maybe
I mean,
it's, yeah.
let's think about Pat Freiermuth, not a massively impressive athlete,
Yeah.
but a decent separator, good catcher of the ball, and he accumulated tons of first downs in the yardage last year. He was a focal point of that Pittsburgh passing game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you get open and catch the ball? That's all that really matters when that ball snaps.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that if you just leave him to his own devices, then you're just going to slowly move the ball downfield and you're going to see the clock ebbing away with you less of a chance of making a comeback. So if you're a team that's already got pass catchers on your team, then he and you add someone that can just move the chains, then you're probably giving your other pass catchers a fighting chance to make a difference. So, yeah. Interesting though. Yeah.
The most intriguing project, I think, for me, really, is Luke Musgrave, though.
Okay.
So there's been comparisons between him and Tyler Eifert as a prospect,
Okay.
and I totally get it. I absolutely get it. That I mean, he's like the physical profile, his natural ability to separate, catch the ball, and what he can do after the catch. It's very reminiscent of Tyler Eifert.
Interesting.
He's very good through contact. He's 6'6 and 250, which actually, in terms of BMI, makes him technically smaller than Kincaid, but he's a bigger, more resilient dude for that frame. And it's just like he will catch the ball, and at that size, smaller players do just bounce off him. He is also the one who is probably the one in this class that's most likely to be a guy that would be a burner downfield. He is someone who, you can throw that seam ball 30 yards downfield, or throw it to him on a post, and he will separate from a safety or a linebacker quite easily. So there's a real vertical element to his game that's missing with most of this class, even though it is a good class. But he is, again, fundamentally lacking in terms of the way he uses his lower body as a blocker. He's got the ability, clearly. It's just a case of sort of teaching him that the power when he blocks has to come through his entire body. He can be a bit scattershot in his aiming point as well, and he can whiff. And also that actually, technically, from a technical standpoint, he's a bit raw. He gets open naturally with his frame and his explosiveness and his speed, but it's not efficient. There's a lot of fat still on there that he can trim off to become more effective. But that's why you bet on him, because the things that you would need to see from him for him to be this kind of nailed on first round pick are all things you can kind of clean up. Teaching him to sink into his breaks, teaching him to come out of his breaks fast, teaching him that, natural leverage and boxing guys out is great, but at some point you're going to have to lose them in the NFL, and you have to be able to do that with regularity using something other than your physical traits. He's also not got a great contested catch profile. I think that's rather more to do with the volume of targets. The only other pause for thought is the fact that he hasn't played that much, actually. COVID screwed 2020 for him, and he's been sort of in and out with injuries, which again kind of is shades of Tyler Eifert. But I think he's, yeah.
Tyler Eifert was the biggest thing about Tyler Eifert is that his career ended because of injury, basically. He sounds interesting to me just because I think that kind of tight end. Nearly every team in the NFL that doesn't have Travis Kelce, George Kittle, or Darren Waller is kind of crying out for that.
But that's the profile. That's his profile. That's who he projects to be, is someone like that. I think he's got more of a vertical element to his game than Travis Kelce has now. But like, and even the combine measurables, the things he did do at the combine were things that were all about proving what people would have seen on film. So at 253 pounds, he ran a 4.61, which is fast. Jumped 36 inches, which at 250 pounds is great. As broad as 10.5 at that weight too, and that's like that. Those are all 90th percentile sort of like athletic scores for a tight end. So he did all of the events that would sell teams and would confirm what they would have seen on film. He could conceivably actually be, with a little bit of work, he could be a very, very exciting player. The
So,
potential is there.
just seems like just like an absolute mismatch. Just like someone that's going to cause no end of problems for pretty much any defense that doesn't have like a safety that is blisteringly fast and a giant. So like, I think that's got to be worth a pick, though, isn't it? That's got to be, like, teams must be out there thinking, like, this guy could. If you're a team that's got, like, a couple of decent receivers, Jags, for example, right?
Yeah.
If you're the Jacksonville Jags and you're like, you know what, this guy could actually just open up what we've got on offense, like the Christian Kirk and the Calvin Ridley of it all of a sudden look incredibly good. If you're causing safeties to have a look at the middle and see what's going on down there and see if they're going to have to make a tackle in the middle of the field, like it's, you're making their life so much easier. Like that, and giving Trevor Lawrence in the process a giant target here as well.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, for me, I would be extremely surprised if he was still there at the start of round two. I'd be really surprised. I think you're going to find that someone at the back end of round one does take him. It kind of depends on which team is there and what that team wants. But if there's a team looking for a tight end, I think teams are going to be choosing between him and another guy who gets mentioned later.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds good.
So, yeah. And I think either of those two could be tight end one, would be tight end one for me.
Yeah.
For different reasons.
Who's next?
So next, I'm going to go into the Wayback Machine and go back a few rounds. I think the guy who's going to be probably late day two, early day three pick, who's probably going to be a pretty cool player, who I quite liked actually, was Luke Schoonmaker of Michigan.
Yeah.
He is the kind of tight end that I think Dan Campbell would adopt.
Okay.
Okay, he's a fifth-year senior, so he's going to be quite, he will be 25 as a rookie, but he's the guy who I think is probably the best blocker in this entire class, with the exception of one dude.
Okay.
He is just an absolutely phenomenal run blocker. He is never, ever going to stretch the field as a pass catcher. If he does, it will be because someone's fallen over. And he doesn't use his size in the receiving game. But if you're looking for somebody that you can put on as your second tight end in the red zone, short passes, that sort of thing, or to just block at the point of attack and knock a defensive end on his back, Schoonmaker's an interesting dude. He is somebody who, if you run the ball a bit, you need on your team. I think he's a phenomenal blocker at the tight end position. I think he has the potential to land on a team and stick in the league for years.
Interesting.
I really liked him.
I mean, you do see it, don't you? You see like these blocking tight ends just last like an absolute age, don't you? So
if they didn't have value, then teams wouldn't have that tight end two type on their team.
Well, look at Mercedes Lewis. Like he's still being like touted to admittedly go to the team that Aaron Rodgers is on. Hopefully for absolutely. Them. I don't really care which team he's on anymore. But you're absolutely right. There is clearly some kind of like calling out for like that sixth guy that can catch a 5-yard pass, but also can actually block as well. So,
okay. The surprise tight end that I wasn't expecting to surprise me and for me to go, oh, he's good. It's Iowa again. They just seem to farm them out.
Yeah.
They seem to grow them in a test tube like Palpatine growing Snopes. sorry about that. it's Sam Laporta of the Iowa Hawkeyes. So he is interesting.
Yeah.
So he's probably the best yak player in the entire class.
Okay.
It's like, He breaks tackles, he forces missed tackles in the open field and consistently gets up the field when he catches the ball. He just has an absolute hunger for actually getting down the field. He averaged 6.3 yards after the catch by reception this year, which is superb for a tight end that's caught as many balls as him. Forced 20 missed tackles, which for a tight end is a lot. And he was doing it with an average depth of target of 7 yards, which is, he's taking like, stick routes and slants, and he's getting extra. He didn't really stretch the field this season, but the thing that the really real confusing thing about that is he's probably one of the fastest players in the class. He's legitimately fast. He is on field fast as well, and like ran a 4.59 on the track, and his explosive numbers, 35-inch vert, 10'3" broad, and he was one of the few titans that did a three cone. He did a three cone sub 7 seconds,
Oh my
6.91.
God.
That's edge rusher territory. So if I'm looking at a player who again is somebody who you feel pretty good about drafting in like the third round, I would just be I'd be running my card to that podium and saying, I want to pick this guy, please. This guy, no one else, because he strikes me as a guy who could be the Mark Andrews of this class. Like the third round guy that really translates to the next level. He does need to put a little bit of work into sort of how he attacks the ball. He's less of a natural catcher than you would probably like, and his contested catch rate is not the best. But he intrigues me the most, probably, really, because he's the one that will probably get picked last, but have I could see him a reality where that it's very easy for me to see him in a reality where he becomes a top 10 tight end in a few seasons.
It says here, I'm on the PFA website. It says here, 65 snaps as an outside receiver last year as well.
That means a
So
lot.
yeah. Like for me, that says Mike McDaniels, Kyle Shanahan territory of messing with everyone, creating mismatches by putting players in positions that you wouldn't expect to see them. And
And we
it
know
working, yeah.
yak translates and yak translates. We know that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially at
So,
tight
yeah,
end as well.
absolutely.
Yeah.
So
Interesting.
I'm now going to close out the class
Okay.
with my nailed on number one tight end, and it's
Ah.
purely because of the quality of the product already. So the first game I watched of Michael Mayer was his game from this year against Clemson. And statistically, it wasn't his best game, but I think it was the game where I was most impressed. He was a moving piece in the run game. And more often than not, his task was to deal with Miles Murphy.
Bloomin' heck.
He made Miles Murphy look like a child. He absolutely flattened Murphy on about four or five occasions as a moving piece in the blocking game. He would be pulling, and he would knock Murphy sideways. He would stymie him, get hands into Murphy's frame, and stop him still and start his feet running and move him. And I was just like, this guy's different. This guy is just like very, very high level run blocker, not just in terms of like power and leg drive, but timing and aiming and just. And there's one play where he comes down weak side and everybody's blocking down one way, and he's blocking down weak on the weak side end that is Murphy. He just knocks him off his feet. And I'm like, okay, you're for real. I believe in you. This is amazing. And then I watched some more games, and the guy does not lose a contested catch. He is physically dominant at the catch point and consistently dominant. Not it's not even like just his body, it's everything. It's the hands technique. He attacks the ball. He's got an awareness of where the defender is. And then he uses his frame to his advantage. He's really good at judging the ball in the air. He is absolutely fine at catching things over the middle, in traffic, in contact, where it's dirty and violent and horrible. And everything he does is done with a technical prowess and ability and the level of field awareness tells me that he is going to be playing next year and playing a high volume of snaps for a team very quickly, because what is there is very, very good. He has physical limitations. His physical limitations are he is one of the less explosive players in this class. He will never stretch you vertically, but what he will do is you can give him 60 to 80 targets in the season, and he will be a productive part of your offense, and he will be a physical presence that you can throw that slot fade, which is a throw I hate. You can throw that fade, that red zone fade, which I hate. Red zone fade is just pointless.
Yeah.
It's a low percentage throw, high risk, doesn't always work, too tricky, but you can throw
incredibly
it to him.
difficult as well. Yeah, as you said. Yeah, it's
incredibly
like,
difficult.
yeah.
He's perfect for it, and he's just like this big physical presence who you can see winning in the end zone. The irony is, I talk about his lack of speed. He had no tight end in college football who had more deep catches last year. He had 8 deep catches for 210 yards. That's the most yards by any tight end. He had the most contested catches last year with 17.
Bonkers.
As well, and the highest percentage of contested catches. Drops, not a massive problem for him. I don't think it's okay. But the other thing is that he's that big, strong, and powerful at 265. And you look at his frame and you think, well, do you know what? He could lose 5 or 10 pounds, get a bit of speed, be a little bit quicker, a bit more dynamic. And I don't necessarily think that would be a bad thing for him. If he were to walk onto the field, the NFL field at 265 and be who he is, I think he's okay. I think his flaw is that he's like, you know, an okay tight end, and his ceiling is probably Jason Witten.
Wow. Like, who wouldn't want Jason Witten on their team anyway?
But
Like, yeah.
I mean, he's the kind of player that Bill Belichick would just fantasize about over and over.
There's such a home for players like that, isn't there, in the league as
Oh,
well?
and trust me, Dan Campbell will have watched this guy. He will have watched him.
Yeah.
He's fascinating, and I think if there was a perfect team in the draft for him, I think it's the Bengals. Because of what he could
Interesting.
add. Pass pro as a sixth blocker, in the run game as a moving piece, as a run blocker, and what he can bring in the short to intermediate as a safety valve.
Yeah.
He could be a force multiplier for that team.
Yeah. Well, he's just the yin to whatever the Bengals, whatever else the Bengals have got. Yang, really, isn't he?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah,
love it.
That's Michael Mayer. And he is my tight end one.
Excellent. Anyone else you want to talk about, or is that pretty much
no,
it covered?
That's it. That's it, because we'll be here for a week.
Should we do some edge players?
We can do the edge now. Yeah.
Okay. Number one, this is going to surprise you, James. It's a little known player called Will Anderson.
I mean, it was never in question.
No.
Not for me.
No, but
not
halfway
me.
Through the season last year, it was never in question. He's unreal. 200 pressures in 3 seasons, I've got written here as well, which is just bonkers. Unbelievably quick feet, total understanding of how to deal with mobile quarterbacks as well. Like an ability to cut inside. When you see, how many times in the NFL last year did we see players when the pressure came from outside and then the Justin Fields, for example, just cutting straight up the middle where the gap was, basically. His ability to kind of cut inside and then close down the space is supernatural almost. And I didn't really see it in college, but it's the kind of thing that when you look at it, you say, well, that could actually work in the NFL quite nicely.
It does. And I think the most striking thing about Will Anderson for me, that is probably better than any edge player in this class, is also the fact that the amount of plays he makes, because he never stops running, never stops chasing.
Yeah.
It's like he's like an inline linebacker playing edge. And it's that mentality of, okay, has the whistle gone? No, I need to be chasing. I will be chasing everything down. Now, the concerns with him are the fact that he had a bit of a down season this year. Well, he got more attention this year. You know, if you have 17 sacks 1 year, guys eventually sort of start game planning for you. The double teams will happen, the chips will happen, and your sack production will go down. I mean, you know, he only had a pitiful, miserable 14 sacks this year. I mean, you
Which is
know,
bonkers.
that's, yeah.
So I said, yeah, winds pushing inside as well can take like a wide angle as well. It's plenty of bend, but also the ability to kind of like push inside of the tackle is incredible at it. Just wrong foot tackles all the time. I just put a dominant pass rush with an understanding of how to stop the run as well. Like he just doesn't come off the field, and that is underrated in the NFL. My prediction is that we're going to see more focus on the run game this year, just because it tends to like come round every now and then when there's not enough wide receivers to go around. That teams have to start doing things slightly differently, and also when teams are loading up on cornerbacks and safeties, all of it, and like you're running a lot of cover two, which teams still are, although it's gradually changing slightly. But it's still, you're still seeing cornerbacks sitting off, and you're still seeing safety sitting off, and you're still seeing running opportunities. So you might see more teams, I think, start to run the ball. Having someone that can just doesn't come off the field is going to be, I think, vital. Like so a player that has a complete understanding of how to deal with running backs, mobile quarterbacks, and also players that are going to sit back and try and pass as well. So.
Exactly. He has, like you mentioned, in terms of being a run defender, he is also someone who's an instinctual run defender. He will shoot gaps. He will actually freestyle assignments. So sometimes I've watched him in the run game where he's shot into the backfield and into someone else's gap, it's worked. He will do it occasionally and it will not work.
Yeah, and you won't do that in the
But
NFL. Yeah.
not the worst thing in the world. It's not the worst problem to have. I mean, he is like somebody who sees something, senses it, and makes that play. He's also the kind of player who can chase runs down from the backside. It's really, really impressive the way that, like, there's that old bit of footage of Lawrence Taylor versus the New Orleans Saints where he chases the running back down from behind the line of scrimmage, and you're just like, wow. Well, Will Anderson, I'm not saying he's Lawrence Taylor. No one is. But there's an awful lot of that happens on his film where he's chasing guys down and it's like either he catches them or he's almost catching them.
His
And that's
instincts are
all,
unbelievable as well.
yeah,
Just it, yeah,
instincts
it's
and motor.
yeah.
And that's why Nick Saban would have given him that many snaps at edge. And that's why he was on the field enough to get 37 and a half sacks, which is more than anyone in this class. And I think, you know, he's probably one of the only edge players in this class that ticks that production box, like emphatically. And that counts for an awful lot.
I think there's a good argument to be made for him being the best player in the draft this year. Like,
It's close. It's close.
I haven't done nearly enough research to say that emphatically, but like, of the players I've seen, he is definitely the best player that I've seen. Just everything about him as well just screams like he's an absolute difference maker on whatever team he's going to go to. He's 100% ready for the NFL right now as well.
No, absolutely. And for me, I think when I started watching Edges, he was the first player I started with, and it was just my immediate reaction was, oh my gosh, this kid is amazing. And I still think that. I'm not desensitized to how good he can be. I think the ceiling for him is almost limitless. People who want to talk to you about his frame, his size, I think 6'3" and 253 is fine.
Yeah, it's perfect.
He
Like
might have played at 240, but I don't care. He was still fine from a power and balance perspective. So, you know.
the difference between ideal weight and being too heavy for being an edge player is about 20 pounds, and he's pretty much slap bang in the middle of that. He's fine. He's absolutely fine for what he wants to do. And like, he's the kind of player that you, as you say, you can just kind of like, I don't know how many times we have to do this. We've seen Nick Bosa, who's not like the ideal shape for like an edge player, just absolutely dominate the NFL. Like it's one of those things that like sometimes, I'm not saying it happens all the time because we're going to get some weird shaped players, but like it's the kind of thing that like Will Anderson is so good that he is 100% just ready for the NFL. And I know we've said this before and it's backfired, and you know it still will, but
when people have concerns about someone's frame but they win with power,
yeah,
you're only normally concerned about frame in terms of them winning, having durability and winning with power. Well, he's plenty durable. He's not missed very much time at all.
Yeah.
And he wins consistently with power.
Yeah.
In fact, that's one of the key features of his game, is power and explosiveness.
And he's got a decent counter as well, which is like 50% of the problem people have with players that tend to win one way. So, Hilario. So, Will Anderson, bit good at football.
Yeah, he's great.
I do wonder where he's going to go. Like that thought crossed my mind that, in terms of like the way the draft is falling, that's an awful lot of quarterbacks in the beginning of the draft. So, Panthers at number one aren't going to draft him unless they've done something really weird.
yeah, that'd be odd.
I think if the Cards stay at three, then yeah, that's where he probably goes. Seattle seems like the next obvious choice at number five. So
I'd be very surprised if he made it past Seattle.
Yeah, because if he does, Detroit would be like running up there, I think. So, so there we go.
Yeah, I'd be really surprised if I don't see him making outside of the top six.
No. The amount of edge players we could see drafted very early on, though, is crazy, because the next guy is really good as well. I've got Tyree Wilson. Seems to be a consensus next guy on the list. 6'6", 335 and 1/8 arms as well.
He's huge.
Absolutely massive, and he's one of the weirdest looking guys on the field. Like when you see him play, because he looks like he's closer than everyone else, but he's not. He's just massive. And so like when you see him barrel into like a running back that's there specifically to try and stop him from getting to the quarterback, he just moves him out of the way. He just absolutely bodies him.
Yeah.
First thing I wrote was he's a problem. So that's a good start. Ability to get hands on quarterback through offensive linemen. That's how long his arms are. Like I saw one play where he pushes the offensive lineman back and then almost hugs the offensive lineman to grab the quarterback through the offensive lineman. It's probably not something you can do in the NFL, but it also shows that he's an interesting guy.
Well, it's strange because there's a lot of value in someone who is a power rusher.
Yeah.
And who does that? Because you don't necessarily always need your edge rushers or a D lineman to get home. Sometimes it's enough just to get them to shrink the pocket sufficiently that the quarterback bails or makes a bad decision. I look at the raw material with him, and it's something I would bet on. The downsides with him are he's an older player.
Yep.
He's 24 as a rookie. He's not particularly once he gets his hands on you, you are dead meat.
Once he gets his hands on you, you're playing the game where you're trying to hit him and he's just like
But the problem is he needs to be better at getting his hands on people in the right place. He's not going to be able to get away with having less than perfect or good hand placement. He doesn't always have good hand placement. He's just able to overpower lesser collegiate guards and tackles. In the NFL, he will need to clean that up a bit. But I think that's fine. That's not a that's an okay problem to have. I was a little bit concerned he didn't do any explosive testing at the combine, but then at the same time, you watch the tape, and the one thing that does stand out about him is he doesn't have a very quick get off.
No.
But he's so big that he just leans forward and he's on you anyway. So that's
So
fine.
the one thing I'm not sure about, he's like, in terms of like as an outside edge rusher, there isn't much bend because you know what? It's very difficult for him to bend.
At that size, it would be. Yeah,
Yeah.
I would agree.
But he just barrels through people generally. So it doesn't, which is it's a different prospect in the NFL.
Well,
He's,
yeah,
but
you
he
don't
is
have to be
very,
Von
very good
Miller.
at it. Yeah.
You don't have to be Von Miller to be effective. And, like, yeah.
There are plenty of players that are similar size to him that have had long-lasting NFL careers as well.
And what his physical profile gives you is it gives you the option to play interior in NASCAR packages. Because if you think about it, he's basically like, I don't know, he's like Calais Campbell on Slim Fast.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing is, like, in terms of like, I don't have a problem with shorter quarterbacks, but if you're a shorter quarterback and all of a sudden a 6'6" player with ridiculous arms jumps up to try and bat a ball down, it makes your life incredibly difficult as well.
I would bet on what I see and take a shot there. I don't know if it depends really. If I was looking for a complimentary edge rusher and I already had a guy, he's the kind of guy I would take. Or if I was running a 4-3 and I needed a strong side D end, he's the guy I'd want because he's going to be that physical presence that's going to be moving people. So that's great. I don't know that he's immediately going to be that guy. I
No.
think he will be, but immediately I think his value is going to be more as a sort of pocket mover and run defender. But a good
Yeah.
one, a really good one.
I think he has the potential to eventually be someone that just completely forces you to change how your
Oh,
offense
absolutely.
looks on the field when you play whatever team he joins. Just one of those players that like frees up other players to do something pretty special. So yeah. I'm excited about watching him in the NFL though, because he's absolutely massive. Like it's always fun seeing big guys run that quick as well. So, and just like that explosive.
No,
Like,
exactly. And
it's explosive in the sense of every hit looks like he's blown someone up, though. Not explosive as in like in a completely different way. But yeah.
it's Miles Garrett in high school.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's
Miles
exactly it.
Garrett at high school.
But I think he'll go quite high because I think he, well, nearly every mock draft has him in the top 10 at least. And
Lots of them to Seattle.
yes, which
Which I
kind of
think is
makes
fine.
sense. I
It's a
could
good
see
hire.
that Pete Carroll would fall in love with him, I think. So I could
No,
definitely,
absolutely.
definitely see that. So, next up, Lucas Van Ness. So, power incarnate is what I've got as his tagline here. It's just an absolute, he's built like animated series Batman for starters, just this upside down triangle. Opposing offensive lineman guaranteed a tough day, whatever happens with him. Like, you know you're in for a fight that day. Like, if you're playing him, he is going to barrel through you. He's going to fight you, and you're going to have a rough day. And I think there's something to be said for that. Superior run blockers, sorry, can move him out of the way. That's a slight concern. Like, I think he's so focused on one particular thing, which is generally trying to barrel through offensive linemen, that the smarter offensive linemen in the NFL who will be very aware of their assignments, will be very quick to go, "This is great, but can we have this conversation over here? Thank you." And then just make way for running backs, which I think is a slight concern. Michael Myers-esque relentless motor I've got here. Like, he will. He plays to the whistle, in the sense that he will keep going. I put exceptional feel in the run game as well. Like, he can be moved out the way, but he does have a great feel for where the running back is.
No, I definitely can see that.
Yeah. Gets wide against cut and run QBs as well. So, like, I think one of the things that should be an absolute trait for any first round edge rusher this year is the ability to not just get sacks, but also be the guy that's like, right. So, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, and Justin Fields, Lamar Jackson, they're going to try. If you try and get them on the ground, there's a good chance what you've just done is given up a first down. So, yeah. Like, it's a case of just containing them, and he seems to be pretty good at that as well. So I quite like Lucas Van Ness. I'm not as in love with him as everyone else seems to be, but...
I'm not.
No.
I'm not either. So, I think what you need to look at with Lucas Van Ness is kind of... We're talking about him in the edge class. I don't know that that is really decided in his future for me. You see... There's one other really striking thing about Lucas. Well, there's two other striking things about Lucas Van Ness playstyle. One, pad level.
Yeah.
Like he plays super low. So he's amazing creating natural leverage. And the other thing you notice about him, he has one move.
Yeah.
It's one thing he does. It's the ball rush. Yeah. And it's like, and it is a really, really impressive ball rush. It's like, people.
Yeah.
The problem with that is he is going to be coming into contact with the Penei Sewells of this world.
Yes.
And the Trent Williams of this world. And even like guys like Mike McGlinchey, who have seen a bull rush or two from guys who are better than him. And I think if the bull rush is all you have, that can be problematic. Yeah. I also think that for me, his profile, he's not a very explosive player. I think for me, he's more of an interior lineman, if I'm honest.
He's a Big Mac away from being an interior lineman as well.
I think he would do better to play at 3-tech.
Mm.
I think he would be an impressive, explosive 3-tech. I think, or even play at 0, just because the physical strength he has at his size, because there's not a lot of bend there. There's almost no real sort of explosion beyond that first punch, which is horrific.
It's
really, really brutal. So for me, I don't know that he is an edge player. And if he is an edge defender, I think he's not one that you align outside the tackle. He's an over tackle edge defender in certain fronts, which is limiting for him.
Absolutely. I do wonder about him as well. Like, gone, if we were talking 10 years ago, we'd be like, oh, well, he's clearly a 3-4 defensive end. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Top 10, spot no on. Problem. There he goes. That's not how the NFL works anymore. Like, that doesn't exist anymore. That's not a position so much, because defensive lines are amorphous things now. Like, it's... You need to be able to work on the outside. You need to be able to work like outside the outside nowadays as well. And it's, you can't just be someone that can line up. It's just defensive interior now. Like, and as you say, he needs to make sure that's what he can do before he does it. Like, he needs such a specific team to draft him. And for it to work. But I think people will fall in love with his power. Like, I think that's something that's going to happen.
But he is a project. I mean, let's consider the fact that he didn't even play every snap on defense for Iowa.
No.
You know, he's only had one game in his entire career where he had more than 50 snaps.
Yeah, and we're meant to be talking about someone that's like almost like a top 20 draft pick this year. It's interesting.
Having said that, he's only got one move. He still managed to have an 18.8% pass rush win rate, which is like really, really good.
Yeah.
18.
I think someone's going to fall in love with him. I really do.
I think they will too.
I think someone will fall in love with the next guy as well. Nolan Smith.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
And I am just going down the list from the PFF list as well. But it's... for me, Nolan Smith is someone I'm more interested in than Lucas Van Ness.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Historic scouting combine. I know it doesn't count for much, and I know it's if it's a wide receiver, we look into the 40 times too much and everything, but this guy was just unreal. The biggest issue that he is about 4 pounds off being what is, would be considered an okay weight for an edge rusher.
Mm.
He is light, relentless speed on occasion, feels like he doesn't know what to do with it occasionally. That's the only thing. I think he needs direction. I think he needs coaching. But his ability to even close down running backs is bonkers. And he's not the only player. There's another player we'll get to in this list as well that has a very similar feel.
Yeah.
Plays super wide as well, but knows that he has the speed to get inside anyway. Like he can go on any little journey with the tackle and know that he can either bounce inside or just get round and has enough speed to get to the quarterback. And if the quarterback does break contain, he has the speed to then chase them down as well. I think this is underrated. Like if you've got an edge rusher that can not just bring a quarterback down, but then, he's on the move, chase him down, then that I think is massive. Ideally, you'd want to see him go with one of the other edge rushers we've just talked about, like in the same team, but we know that's not going to happen. So,
The thing you talk about in terms of pursuit speed, and I think the thing that's really special about him, in particular in terms of like get off and in terms of like breaking out of rush and going into pursuit, in his 40 time, his 10-yard split was like wide receiver territory.
Yeah.
Like I think it was like something like 1.52. And that's fast. That's really, really fast. And that's rare for like an edge guy to be there. So that explains an awful lot with him. And that translates in terms of like get off. And like the size thing, he's 235, he's not skinny. Is he? He's not skinny. You wouldn't call him skinny, would you?
No. He's 6'2". 235, 238,
Which is, you know, that's. I mean, I know it's like a big safety, but like, but that's fine. And guess what? There's an edge rusher in the NFL that's almost exactly the same physical profile as him, who had like 15 sacks last year. It's Hassan Reddick.
Yeah.
The deployment for Nolan Smith at the next level would be very similar to Hassan Reddick.
The way I look at it, the way I look at it as well is he's the guy that chases the mobile quarterbacks into the bigger guys anyway. Because if you've got him rushing one way off the edge, then all of a sudden your quarterback's got a decision to the other quarterback's got a decision to make. He's either going to run up the middle, and if you've done a decent job on the edge, then that's actually quite difficult. Or he's going to run into the arms of someone on the other side. Like he is forcing quarterbacks to make decisions very, very quickly because he's very, very quick.
No one wants that.
No.
Quarterbacks don't want to have to make decisions quickly. They want to make them slowly.
Yeah. I would take Nolan Smith over Lucas Van Ness any day of the week, personally.
I would too. And the brilliant thing about Nolan Smith is that when you look at all of his explosive testing at the combine and then you watch the player, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So you look at the fact that he's a 41-inch broad with vertical jump. 41 inches, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
10'8". These are wide receiver explosive testing numbers at 235 pounds. He's a remarkable athlete and also a remarkable player. And to all accounts, a remarkable person.
Yeah.
Like, he was the guy on that Georgia defense that if he told the room to shut up, they would all shut up. He's the guy who broke his nose in a practice.
Yeah.
Shoved two tampons up his nose and got on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like Dan Campbell bite your kneecap stuff right there.
It is. It really is. I would both love and hate to see him on the Philadelphia Eagles. Like that, it's Like, I think if that's the team that would get the most out of him, just deploying him when you've got, I've got another player I'd love to see in the Philadelphia Eagles as well. But yeah, I think he can be a factor in the NFL. I'm not overly worried about his size. Players tend to get a little bit heavier anyway.
His pass rush win rate in the SEC, 22.1%. That is elite.
Yeah, yeah.
22.1 is an elite pass rush rate in the SEC.
I think he's got enough boxes ticked that you've got to take a chance anyway with him. That would be my guess. So
his frame for an edge means he will be off people's boards, most teams' boards, before pick 15.
Yeah.
But for me, the player, I would take him, you know, anywhere from like pick 8. That's how I feel about him. He's my edge too.
Yeah.
With Tyree Wilson.
Yeah, Tyree Wilson, I think, just nicks it. But yeah, I think he's definitely, I have him above Lucas Van Ness. People are going crazy for Lucas Van Ness. So I get it, but I also don't.
I do and I don't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Not that high.
Yeah.
Anyway. What do you got next?
I feel similarly about Miles Murphy as well. The thing with Miles Murphy is it's a lot of effort. Once again, plays to the whistle. We're talking bull rush again, and it's for me the one thing that I think he's got going for him is he is deceptively quick. Like it's not explosive, but it's quick. And I think when he gets into the pocket, he can cause problems. I think at some point though, someone's going to need to take him under his wing and go, we're going to need to give you something else for this to work. Because if you can get to this, the next level, all of a sudden you are one of the better pass rushers here. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's where I feel about Miles Murphy.
I think when I think of edge players, there's certain things I really want to see.
Yeah.
And I just didn't see enough of them with Murphy for me to think that's a top 10 player. For me, I don't understand. I understand that he is top 10 potential player. You know, he's potentially got the ceiling is there. But for me, he is an unbalanced player for a start. Mm. So if Michael Mayer knock you off your feet in the run game, that tells me everything I need to know about your balance. The fact that he is not very bendy either. No. And he is underdeveloped from a pass rush move standpoint. Give me the thought that you need to look at him as a project. He is probably as much of a project, if not more of a project, than Tyree Wilson.
I agree. Shades of, and not the same thing, but similar in some respects, Rashawn Gary, who took like 2-3 years to become a really good pass rusher.
Yes.
I think that's kind of the same. I think if you are willing to be able to say, I can sit on Miles Murphy for a couple of years, I'm not expecting anything wonderful from him from the get-go, then I think you're in a pretty decent situation. So
the other big red flag for me, the lack of progress year to year.
Yeah.
The difference between 2020 Miles Murphy and 2022 Miles Murphy is negligible in terms of like the development. And it's not a first round top, it's not a top 20 player, not for me. I'm expecting too much. I don't know. I'm not as in love with the traits as some people might be. And I'm also not someone who's gonna helmet scout either. I don't get it. I just don't.
No, me neither. Like, no, maybe not. I was about to criticize the Dallas Cowboys there, but the one thing they do really good every year is draft.
Yeah.
So maybe he wouldn't be a Dallas Cowboy, but I think there is a team out there that will fall in love with Miles Murphy. Imagine, James. Yeah, sorry, go on. You go on.
But they have to understand he's a project.
Yeah, 100%. You would hope that's the case. Mm. Imagine, James, being the second best will in the draft and also the second best undersized freakish edge player.
I am so pleased that you decided to talk about Will McDonald.
Well, I love Will McDonald. Yeah, he's really good.
Thrilled. Do you know what his hobby is?
No.
He's had to give his hobby up. Jumping cars. He jumps cars. Okay? And he's stopped jumping cars because now he has to take it seriously. I will be honest with you.
Yeah.
I had not seen a single rep of Will McDonald. The first rep I saw of Will McDonald was at the Senior Bowl. And it was, I think it was Darnell Wright, the tackle from Tennessee, who is a projected first round pick. And their first rep's a stalemate.
Yeah.
Which is fine. And then the second rep, he goes for the outside shoulder, gets his hand on Wright's outside shoulder, starts pressing it, Wright turns his body, and then McDonald just spins on him, and he is passed right before Darnell Wright can even blink. And I'm just like, that.
Yeah.
I want that. And I'm just like, okay. I think I saw that spin move on Twitter all day.
This is the first year I've looked at players, and outside of Will Anderson, up until this point, I haven't gone, oh, much.
Yeah, yeah.
He was the first player other than Will Anderson for me to go, oh, like, just, yeah, he's so, he's another weird-looking dude as well. But, like, it just works again. He's technically undersized. Maybe next year we're going into the draft thinking undersized is just sized potentially.
He's like him and Nolan Smith. It's like half an inch and a couple of pounds in it between them, but they are cut differently. He's got a very lanky feel to him.
Yeah.
His arms are enormous.
35 inch arms. Yeah.
Long. They're long, long.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that does explain a lot. And you sort of look and think, guy, he's skinny. But then what is really surprising is at 236 pounds, the weight he will, like, on stunts, he will move inside and he will power rush guards 236 and it will work. And I'm like, this is different. This is different. This is so, very, very different.
What I like about him is he uses his lack of size as a strength to get into gaps and put himself in positions that bigger guys wouldn't be able to do. He is the mouse running through a kitchen with chefs trying to grab him.
Yeah, that's it.
Whilst having enough strength to like push them out of the way a bit as well. And it's weird, as you say, when he pushes inside, it's weird to look at, but it works. And bearing in mind how many, I'm prepared to eat my words, like at the end of this year, with the players that I have faith in, which are Nolan Smith and Will McDonald, compared to Miles Murphy, for example, in the sense that these are guys that win, that are quick and win, have different physical traits, but they have physical traits. But I think the likes of Miles Murphy and Lucas Van Ness are going to be lauded, because there are just coaches to have an absolute hard on for players of that size. And I would like to think that the player teams that draft Will McDonald and Nolan Smith are the teams that are going to be like, right, we could do something with this, but we might mean we have to just do something a little bit different than we'd normally do. But we know that this can change the game. Big fan. I am a big fan of Will McDonald. As you say, they're very different anyway, but I'm a big fan of the idea that the undersized might not be undersized. Like, it might just be sized. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I'll eat my words next year and I'll be only looking at £270 line edge players. But yeah,
I buy into him for a million reasons.
Mm.
But it's kind of the it is the power at the size he played at.
Yeah.
It's the bend, the explosiveness, the counter moves, and just the fact that the explosive testing as well. I mean, he recorded the longest broad jump of any edge rusher. So the explosive testing, and what I mean by that is the vertical and the broad.
Yeah.
Didn't do a three cone. I don't need to see a three cone. It's fine. I can kind of guess what his three cone would be.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be about 6.7, 6.8. But, and just like the way that he is, just looks explosive, looks fluid, looks explosive. And I have a funny feeling that at the next level, if he plays at 236, he'll be fine. If he finds a way to pack on 10, 15 pounds, he could be devastating.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't need to. At 236, I think he'd be just fine. He's that Hassan Reddick breed of edge defender that just has, it's going to give tackles nightmares.
I think you spend his first year as just the guy that just literally like a situational pass rusher for the first year.
Yeah.
But I think there is a way that if you are all of a sudden able to drop players into coverage that you normally bring forward because you're worried about the quarterback breaking contain and running for a first down, then that's also devastating, because what you are doing is taking weapons away from some of the best quarterbacks in the league. Mm. So if you can do that and you've got edge players that you think it's fine, the most he can gain is 5 yards because I have faith that this guy can get to him before he gets there. I think it's a win. Okay, other players I looked at, I'm going to kind of rattle through some of these then. Keon White, £285, the complete reverse of what we've just been talking about, basically. He's big, but he's also quite quick and he's powerful. He played inside a bit as well. So I think it could be the case that once again, we're talking about a player that might actually fit like three tech a bit better than, I don't know. He's good on the outside. He's, if you put him with a defensive coordinator that likes to play around with their defensive line, then he could have a very good career, I think. But he's going to need to go to the right team. But he hits like a truck. Like the Ravens, for example, would absolutely love him.
Yeah.
His
reps at the Senior Bowl, he was an impressive player that whole week. He was very cool week. And that always seems to do well. I just think I do sometimes question whether he's going to be explosive enough and whether that limits him as being an every down pass rusher. But
yeah,
he's a day two player that you pick and you sort of feel quite good about. So no, totally. I think the wild card for me in this class is BJ Ojulari.
Yes. BJ Ojulari. Hilariously. Very few sacks, like his brother.
He is his brother.
Yeah, he is.
But he has one key difference that he is different to his brother in one sense.
Go on.
His pass rush moves are just, it's the best, most complete pass rush toolkit in terms of moves and complementary moves and usage anyone in this class.
Yeah.
He's done the homework, right? Is technically, fundamentally, very, very good.
Yeah.
The problem is that the raw materials are not quite so good. But that counts for a lot.
Yeah.
Because you can sculpt the body. But what he's already got is like a fairly decent toolkit for a second or third year NFL player.
Yeah.
You know, he's got stuff that he can immediately bring out, and he appears to do it with a plan. He will have counter moves and moves off of counter moves, and he will divert, set things up. You know, you know, the really great ones, they set stuff up for quarters three and four. You know, I'm going to give you my bull rush. I'm going to give you my rip. Give me my swim. I'm going to give you my jab ole. Oh, I got you with this instead.
Draft him with pretty much any of the top four edge players in this year's draft, and you're
Yeah.
laughing.
But it's not like he's terrible or like he's some pathetic athletic specimen either.
No.
It's just, you know, what's there is kind of, it's okay. It's just he's not, I mean, the thing he lacks is place. It's play strength.
Yeah.
But then, you know, they've all got weight rooms. You know,
They
they've all got
do, and
world-class
there's something to be
freeze.
said for the guy that pushes the quarterback into the other guy as well.
Exactly. And so I like him. I think he'll be on rosters for a long time. And I think if he can develop a bit more play strength, you know, and be a bit smart and be a bit cute about it, he could be a productive pass rusher down the road. I like the idea of him being sat there at say pick 60 and just going, you know what? Yeah, I'll have him. He's also short, he's 6'2", but he's 6'2", 248, so he's stout.
Yeah,
So yeah.
there is a place for him in the NFL. There's no doubt. The last guy I kind of want to talk about is Tuli Tuipulotu. Don't know if I think I absolutely massacred that,
You were
but yeah,
close enough.
thank
It's
you.
fine.
Simply because he's someone that has had experience playing on the inside, and
Yeah.
I love guys that have move outside after they've lost a little bit of weight, but then have the potential to go to the NFL and be like, maybe I'll move inside again. And no, I know I've kind of been crapping on players that have like one position, but I think it is interesting that you have someone that is probably relatively inexperienced outside on the edge, but can then also then move inside and cause some problems on the inside. So if you can get him to where you want him as an edge rusher, then I think you've got a very diverse player that understands how to beat players in a number of different ways in a number of different positions. And I think that's worth its weight in gold. Like in terms of interior linemen, one of the things I look for is, can they play on the outside? So why would that not be valuable if it was the other way around as well? So
He's
yeah.
another one. He was a very strange one. I thought he was technically a fundamentally sound player as an edge player as well. I thought that gave him a hand up. The power and the way he could also use his hands as well, that translates to at least getting you on a roster and into a rotation. And that's pretty meaningful. I think for me, he's never going to be the most explosive guy, but he's quite bendy, he's quite flexible. It's just, I think he does need to play inside for the most part. I think only really pass rushing on sort of playing in that defensive end role, maybe in a 3-4. He's probably more playing as a three tech and a 4-3, that kind of thing. He's probably more suited to him. I don't know if the next level he's got all of the chops athletically to be an edge player.
I think it'd be
But
interesting if
it's
you lined them up
interesting.
on the inside and with stunts as well, like just like the kind of player that has the ability to then go and beat a tackle as well is
But the fact that he's got edge pass rush experience is valuable in terms of, you know, playing on an island 1-on-1 against a blocker in terms of mentality, approach, and repertoire. So that's meaningful.
I think wherever he goes, the coach will have an idea of what they want to do with him. And it might not necessarily be what he wants to do, but you know, it's probably what's best for him, you'd like to think at least anyway. So yeah. But yeah, I mean, there's a couple of other players as well, a couple of players that I will try and not butcher their name if I'm honest with you. Felix Enedike
Ezekiel's arm. Yep.
Ozama
Yep.
is very, very good as well.
He's cool.
Yeah, a couple of others as well that I didn't really. Derek Hall, I didn't get a chance to have a look at as much as I would like to, because
There were a lot of guys that
honestly,
dropped as well. Guys like Isaiah Foskey, I don't get it. And Andre Carter, I'm not as sold on him as some people were.
no, it's loaded though, would be what I'd say. Like the first 3 days, that's the draft. The first three rounds, I think, we'll see the majority of the edge players go.
No, absolutely. I'm absolutely with you.
It's like I could have carried on for probably another 10 names, but I like sleep and I've got to work, so I can't really. But yeah, there's some great players out there that I think
There are.
I might dig in further, and if we've got time, I might have another look, but we'll see how it goes. So yeah, there we go. I think we'll stick to edge and tight end tonight, because edge took longer than I was expecting at
Didn't
least.
take as long as I thought it would.
Understandable.
Thankfully, our lists were very similar, thankfully.
Yes. Yeah.
Like identical.
Yeah. What should we do next time then? Next pod. So we'll do interior, because that's ready to go.
Yeah, spot on. That's 5 minutes.
Yeah, it won't take long. Both of them, yeah. There's some other guys. There's some other guys. Not many, but there's some other guys.
Think if we did D line and linebackers, I think that would be off-putting.
Yeah, so we'll save linebackers then. Okay, so should we do, how do you feel about wide receivers?
No, not yet, please. No, not yet, please.
Should we do interior defensive line and running backs then?
Let's do that.
Because I still haven't spoken to Will about potentially coming on to talk about offensive linemen, so. But
Okay.
yeah.
Yeah.
Try and
Definitely.
get more people involved, so it's not just me and James, by the way. Although I'm sure, you love the sound of our voices. I'm sure having other people. I really want to get, because I know Josh's, who hasn't been on the pod in a little bit, I know Josh's opinion on quarterbacks and who he would take. I really want to ask him who he would take number one, and if it would be who I think it would be, because I'm not on board with it. I think Bryce Young should go number one, don't get me wrong, but it's one of those things that's like, if you've got a chance to get an explosive quarterback, like someone that has a ceiling that is just limitless, why not do it? I'm curious. I'm curious.
Why
I'm
not?
trying to get him on for that. But yeah, I'm obviously talking about Hendon Hooker, by the way. So the Hendon Hooker love's gone crazy. I don't really understand it, but there we go.
It's Chris Sims. Yeah, it's Chris Sims, don't you?
There's been a couple, though, that I've seen him move up draft boards.
I think Chris Sims has him as like his QB3.
What?
It's so Chris Sims, I think his top three is CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, and then Hendon Hooker, then Anthony Richardson, then Will Levis. He's not in on Will Levis at all.
I kind of I'm a little bit in on Will Levis. I'm more in on Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I'm more in on Richardson. I don't get me wrong, I have reservations about both. For me, and more detail on this later, I think the problem with Hendon Hooker is, and it's the same problem with Jalin Hyatt at receiver.
Yeah.
You can't really effectively critique players in that Tennessee offense.
Yeah.
And it's a shame. And also the fact that, I don't know, Hendon Hooker is going to be the same age as Sam Darnold when he's a rookie.
Yeah.
He's like a few months younger than Sam Darnold. Him and Stetson Bennett are like ancient.
Well,
Don't know.
they'll be joining
Yeah.
Ian Book, who joined the league at 47. So,
Yeah,
it's just,
that's fair.
yeah. Right, we'll wrap it up. We'll talk quarterbacks at some point. We'll save quarterbacks till last, though, because that's obviously going to be the exciting one, isn't it? Because, yeah,
Because,
it's intriguing this year. And once again, it's odd, and everyone's got a different opinion on it. So I quite like that. So, yeah. If you want to contact us, you've got some thoughts, you like what we've been talking about, or you don't like what we've been talking about, let us know. We'd love to know either way. Just hit us up on Twitter. It's just at Gridiron Gents, or you can email us hellochaps@gridirongentlemen.com. Back next time, like, I don't know when this pod's coming out, or the last pod's coming out, and I don't know when the next pod's coming out, but soonish, I suppose, at this point, we'll be talking, yeah, interior defensive line and running backs, and then maybe we'll try and squeeze in something else as well, but we'll see how it goes. Maybe we should try and do like a mock draft as well, if we can get through those ones quite quickly. But yeah, right, with that, goodbye, James. Thank you for all your hard work.
Goodbye, Dan.
Yeah, Speak to you soon, and goodbye.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.